Hello and welcome to From the Rookery End. It's an away day. Well, it was an away day on the weekend. Watford went up to Huddersfield Town, and we'll talk about that game in a minute. But this is we're going to change things up a little bit for the next couple of months or so, maybe in the run-up to Christmas. We want to do a bit more with the podcast, do something different. And basically, Mike... Hello, Mike, by the way. You all right?
Yeah, really good. Thank you, John.
And we felt, I think, Mike, the reason we originally we moved the recording the podcast to Monday because we wanted to be more reflective, didn't we, about what we'd seen in the game. And also, we thought the other day when we did the podcast looking back at three games, actually it was quite nice not to have picked apart every game every week. And so we're going to break it up a little bit with us, at least us talking about the game. It's going to be better, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think what we're always looking to do is make sure that the podcast is as enjoyable as possible for those that give up their time to listen. And I think by going over games really, really in depth week in, week out, we risk repeating ourselves. There's lots that's already been said. And yeah, we just want to keep it fresh. And like we said in the last pod, actually, John, we said supporting Watford should be fun. Supporting football should be fun. Listening to this podcast should be fun. And we don't want people to have to listen to sort of stuff that's been trotted out already and that sort of stuff. So, yeah, we're gonna keep things fresh, keep the pod as fun to listen to as possible. And this is our first step on that road, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And we're going to have a quiz, a Watford quiz in a little bit. But we're not going to ignore the games. In fact, what we'll do is we're going to speak to different Watford fans and get their perspective, add more perspective to the podcast. And this week, I spoke with Fran Lynn. Many of you will know Fran. She's been a Watford fan for quite a while. She's a blogger and she writes a weekly blog about what she sees at the Watford games. She's a home and away traveller and she was up at Huddersfield. And I got to chat to her. And of course, while chatting to her about the game, not only that, I want to find out a bit more about what she's doing with the women of Watford. So I caught up with Fran to talk about the game, as you can hear in the background, on Bonfire Night. Fran, the other weekend I went all the way to Stockholm to see a game of football and it ended 0-0. But within that, there was lots of going out and seeing a city. How was it going all the way to Huddersfield for a 0-0?
Well, I don't know about going out and seeing a city, although Huddersfield's always a cracking day out. It's brilliant. The pub that we go to is, the beer's good. There's always a good crowd of the, what we call the Happy Valley Hornets, because they come from that area and some of the other Yorkshire Hornets we don't necessarily see very often. And the locals are really friendly. They're lovely. So there's always a really nice atmosphere there. And even going to the ground, I mean, the stewards and the police are all welcoming you and sort of wishing you well on the way home. So from that perspective, it was lovely. Just a shame about the football.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. So come on then, you know, I know, you know, we sort of see, I think I saw a couple of people saying it's the worst game of football they've ever seen in their lives. Did you see it as that bad?
Whether it's the worst I've ever seen, I've seen a lot of bad football over the 40-odd years I've been going. It was poor. I mean, as you know, I write a blog, and it was 27 minutes into the game before I wrote anything down. That's just unprecedented. So I've got about a page of stuff, but most of it is nothing. I think I wrote more at half time than I did for most of the game.
What do you put that down to? Do you put that down to a... You know, seeing, you know, again, I listened to the game and the idea, I impression I got was Huddersfield basically did not want to lose yet another game of football. And Watford, but how did Watford sort of just, you know, play into their plan? Or
I've got the feeling that neither team wanted to lose a game of football. I mean, Watford had most of the possession and Huddersfield were quite happy to sit back and soak it up. We just couldn't find a way through. And there was a lot of the playing around at the back, which then people get frustrated, the fans get frustrated, and there's nothing coming through. I mean, I think since Ken's come back, I felt as though we were playing much more positively. The last few games have been the most positive I've seen us this season, I think, apart from the first game, maybe, which was very positive. But yesterday's game was really cagey. There's a certain amount of, let's get a point away, we'll be okay. But with the quality of the opposition, you know, not that I want to put any other team down, because our quality has not been brilliant this season. We have much better players than they have. And they only put out six subs because they've got such a horrendous injury list. it was poor. It really was poor.
Do you feel that's coming from a mindset? Do you see that coming from the way the midfield are playing? Or is it the fact the strikers or the attack aren't sort of pressing themselves? Or maybe, as we've sort of said on the podcast, just not able to?
A bit of everything, but I think a lot of it is coming down to what the manager is telling them to do. Because it definitely looks like, you know, that they're cautious about going forward, very cautious about pushing forward. You know, there was the odd moment when, you know, Semmer would break through, or when Andrews came on, he did a lovely run around the back of them. But that was the fact that I can remember those when they didn't come to anything.
Yeah.
Was because they were really rare, and that there just wasn't much of that at all. And, you know, whether it's just so many players sitting back for Huddersfield and there just not being any room to play in, we should have created more than we did. You know, just whack the ball at the goal. Just have a go.
You got to that space, did you? I mean, I was watching my son Eli this morning and he had a couple of moments where they weren't doing, it wasn't quite coming off. And you say, just shoot. That'll start something, surely.
There was a good number of people in the crowd that just kept, every time a Watford player got a ball anywhere near the goal, were just shouting shoot.
Yeah.
And they weren't particularly close, and it wasn't players you necessarily wanted to shoot, so
could you find any highlights within it, like not say highlights necessarily, but things you think, you know, you will take forward in the next few games, like, you know, into next week's game? Or did you think you didn't learn much about anything, or you didn't learn anything new at least?
I don't think we learned anything. I don't think there was anything that we learned from that game at all. It was good to see Andrews back. I mean, he didn't come straight back in. I think Ngakoue has been playing well, but Andrews looked really bright, and it was lovely to see him on the pitch again. That was probably about the best thing, really.
Okay.
I mean, Chakvetadze has had his moments, you know, and he's sort of come in and was given the chance. I was a little bit surprised because I've enjoyed watching Kone recently. Chakvetadze has not really taken advantage of the times that he started, and it was another one of those games. But then nobody shone, so maybe it's unfair on him to say that. But, you know, I just felt as though Kone adds a bit more, maybe.
So do you have a favourite three to play in midfield? If you were Val for the weekend, who's your sort of preference?
That's a good question, because it's sort of, I mean, every week you're frustrated about what they're doing and who's doing it. I mean, I think Kone has shown what he can do and has been positive. I do like Livermore. I think Livermore's been excellent. He's really sort of finding his way in. So, and Kayembe as well. I think we've seen lots of positives, not necessarily yesterday, although I think he had the best chance that we had in the game. There was a lovely curling shot Asprilla fed him, and it was a good curling shot, and the Nichols actually had to make a save. So that was probably the most positive thing. So I would probably say Kone, Livermore and Kayembe.
That sounds a sensible three, I think. The whole issue with, I suppose, the talking point with that, with Asprilla, are you in the camp of, let's get him on and as many minutes as possible? I mean, he came on very, very late in yesterday's game to really feel like he was going to have enough time to impart himself on the game. As you said, he did something at least. Are you in, you know, you sound like you're like a Watford fan like me. You love seeing the young players and seeing them develop, as we saw under GT back in the day. And Andrews is part of that. You know, with the Asprilla, are you a start him or are you a bring him on fan?
He's been a bit like Chakvetadze, because he comes on, he looks brilliant, and you think, start him next week. And then he starts and struggles. So certainly bring him on with, you know, when the opposition's legs are getting a bit heavy is a good thing. But, I mean, he got so much to offer. You would hope that he could do more. Yesterday, he just didn't. You know, they brought Martins on, but then Martins didn't really create much either. I don't know that he's done enough when he started for him to be like one of the first on the team sheet, but I hope he gets there. I mean, he's still young and he can still do things that other players can't.
putting the game aside, as I said on the introduction, you're part of the Women of Watford organisation, gang. I don't know what you want to call yourselves, but it's been going from strength to strength over the last few seasons, and a big week this week with your new ambassador being named. That's right, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It was very exciting. So since Cabasele left, we've been having discussions, and King Ken's name was one that came up, and we hadn't really done much to advance it. So we finally sort of got through. And with him being out as well, it was difficult. So now he's back, we did approach. And I think Kate put together a little video inviting him to be our ambassador, and he agreed. And so we went to the training ground on Tuesday morning and got to meet him. And he was as delightful as you'd expect him to be. Really, really lovely man. And said he was honoured to be our ambassador. And we're absolutely honoured to have him as our ambassador. And we had a lovely chat with him. And I spoke to him about Swansea, because I've been there. And there's a photo on the website of me impersonating Kone's celebration when he came to our end at the end of the game. So I was quite happy that I made King Ken laugh.
Excellent.
My little celebration. So that was a good thing. So that was probably the highlight of the week, really, as far as Watford were concerned, because certainly the match yesterday wasn't.
Because the other thing about him, like, it's amazing, actually, like the... He's been with us, been on the books and stuff for so long. He's come, he's gone away, and he's shone in certain scenes and not in others. But actually, this last year, him as a person has really shone through to me, and the values he has. And, the fact that he has become the ambassador for Women of Watford just absolutely fits perfectly for me. Do you feel that, like, in terms of all the other players, he was the one that just you were, really wanted to have as your ambassador?
I think so, because I think he's always a positive on the pitch. He gives everything, and he can make things happen, which I felt like since he's been back, there was a more positive approach, and he does look as though, when he tries to get around the back and things, as though he is trying to make something happen. So on the pitch, he's good, and I think off the pitch, he is quite an inspiration. I mean, that interview with his stammer, which is really quite bad, I think the positive that he made of that was amazing. And he's always smiling and always positive, and just seems like he's a really good guy to have around. So I think we're really happy to sort of have him as our ambassador, but also to In our way as well, to show our support of him, because I think he's been sort of like a positive guy at Watford, and he's really popular. I mean, at the end of the game yesterday, obviously people were not very happy, and a couple of players, Hurt was one of them, came over to throw their shirts in and got booed. And I don't know whether it was just the timing of it, but Ken was the last to come and threw his shirt and got a huge cheer. So whether the boo boys had left at that point, I don't know. But I thought that was quite interesting. He certainly didn't get booed when he came to the crowd, which was good, which was positive, because I'm very fond of him, so I would have hated it if he got booed.
With William Watford, people, I'm sure people are aware of it and what have you, but maybe you've got some women listening who haven't got involved. Maybe you've got some men listening who have female friends who are Watford fans. In terms of if they do want to get involved, what is the sort of the main procedure to find out more and to get involved with the organisation?
We have a mailing list, so if you can support, it's womenofwatford@gmail.com is our email address, and if you want to be added to our mailing list, just send your email to us. Our mailing list is mostly sending out emails about away games. So we have a block booking for all the away games, or at least the away games that people want to go to, which hasn't necessarily been all of them this season, because we've had some difficult away trips in midweek. I mean, Sunderland and Swansea come to mind.
Not the best.
So, so there weren't that many people there, and not a lot of takers for the Women of Watford. But we try and get a group together for most games, and then we all sit together. So it means that if there are women that travel on their own who would like to join a group, are groups there for them to join? Or even women who just who go together maybe would like to join a group of other women. And I know I've met a good few. I mean, I know a lot of Watford fans. I've been going for a long time and I go to all the games. But I've met so many women through this and it's been great. I've got a lot of new friends now and it's brilliant. And new people that we go to games with. So it's been something that when it was first mooted, I wasn't necessarily somebody who thought that I needed it because I go to games and I don't have a problem doing that. And I don't have a problem going to games on my own. But it's actually really lovely if I don't have anybody else to go to that there's somebody in this group that I can meet up with. More friendly faces. The more friendly faces, the better, I say.
Yeah, especially over the last few years. 100% that.
Yes.
From the Rookery End, a podcast about life following Watford FC.
Thank you so much to Fran for giving her a breakdown of what happened at Huddersfield. Mike's still with me, but being joined by Geordie. Good evening, Geordie.
Good evening.
Let's get on with the quiz. It's four rounds. You're going to have to work as a team. So I'm not putting you up against each other. Everyone listening at home has an opportunity to see how they do against the two of you. And of course, by you not being competitive with each other, we can make sure you can sort of share your thoughts on things and what they might be. There's four rounds that include one with a player focus. I will reveal that player later on. We have a that famous game where you have to try and delve deep into your minds and remember details from a certain famous Watford game. We've got 10 to the top, where you have to see how many players you can do, higher or lower, as you go through, the theme of which I will tell you later, and another one that's to do with a certain player's name. I'm full of details, as you can tell, in this thing. But let's start with the first round. Round number one is the Darren Baisley round. All the questions, all six questions I have in this round is all about Watford's former player, Darren Baisley. He was a product of Tom Whalley's youth system. He was a right winger originally, but then Glenn Roeder sort of did move him to be more of a fullback. And as you may or may not know, he is currently the national coach for New Zealand football. I think they're called the All Whites, aren't they? But I don't think they're a lemonade. Mike, do you have any memories of Darren Baisley?
He scored the winning goal in a pretty unremarkable, I think it was an FA Cup tie, away at Northampton. And they just moved into Sixfields. We had some of our family friends live in the Midlands and had something to do with Northampton. They were able to get us some quite nice seats and players' lounge tickets. But ultimately, we were in the Northampton stand watching the game. And I remember Darren Baisley sort of curled one. It's quite a good goal, actually, in a pretty poor performance. And I was there with Andy and my brother. And he scored that. And we couldn't help but sort of, it wasn't full on cellos. We weren't sort of tops off and twirling them around the head. But there was a definite, we definitely outed ourselves as Watford supporters. And this sort of slightly more mature lady in front turned around and went, "What the hell are you doing in here?" and sort of swiped at us with a little bag that she had. So yeah, Darren Baisley nearly got me beaten up by a old woman in Northampton. That's my memory of Dazzler.
Well, my memory is I did beat him at pool once. When we interviewed him in the podcast, he denies it, but I definitely remember it. I remember being a massive, massive thing for like 9-year-old John that he beat Darren Baisley. Because Darren was, when he was a YTS, as they were in those days, he lodged with a family around the corner from us. So every with parties and stuff, he would come round and we'd a pool table. And I on a black ball, it was a black ball game, I won it. And I'm sticking to it, when no matter what he says.
Did you say he's manager of New Zealand? And, yeah. And it turns out he can pot all but the black, all blacks. I don't know.
Oh, well done. He probably beat me in all the other games he played, nearly, but at least one. I got him in one.
Nearly a gag there.
Geordie, what about you, Darren Baisley? What are your memories of him?
I think my main recollection is he got a hat-trick, didn't he? Was it a Southend or something? One of his rogue players who didn't really pipe up with many goals and then seemed to get a hat-trick in one game, I seem to recall. The other thing is that, yeah, he kind of left us when we got promoted, didn't he? And it kind of, you feel like he was, I don't know when he debuted and stuff, but he's kind of, feels like a 90s player. I don't remember him being in the 80s, so I don't know how many to the 90s, but obviously at the end of the 90s we get promoted and then he moves. So he didn't actually kind of, he took in the 90s and then didn't take the Premier League. Which seems a bit unfortunate for
him. I love the way you made the caveat there, Geordie. He scored a hat-trick in one game.
he wasn't like an Alan Shearer type, or you know, or a David Connolly character, perhaps, who might get more than one hat trick. Yeah. I think he got a hat trick in one game, as opposed to multiple hat tricks across many games.
Oh, fair point. Okay.
Well, you both give me lots of facts and figures about him. Thank God, none of them are the questions that I have. So, question number one. Thinking back, you've got some good ideas about him and the eras. Which manager gave Darren his league debut? I would like to thank for the majority of the questions for inspiration and information and clarity to the Watford FC archive.co.uk, which I've used to write all these questions. So which manager do you think gave him his league debut?
So it's got to be early 90s.
Yeah. I'm trying to think who the order they came in. Post Harrison.
So who were the managers? Yeah, who were the managers at that time?
Perryman was around.
Colin Lee,
yeah.
Glenn Roeder. Roeder was up until before GT came back, wasn't he?
And then before that, it would have been, was it Steve Harrison immediately before Colin Lee?
Yeah, it must have been, wasn't it?
So what are you thinking? Youth product. Do you think he might have got a very early debut?
You got me thinking about tracksuits, right? Whenever I think of Steve Perryman, I think it must be because of one of the old videos, and he had that sort of the Buckter, sort of almost like shell suit type tracksuit on. And I think, I mean, this is the most unscientific way of trying to work out when a player made his debut, but I think I can picture Steve Perryman wearing a tracksuit and Darren Baisley wearing the same one.
Okay, so you're looking at the answer of Steve Perryman?
Unless Geordie can talk me out of it, that's what I'm going for.
I certainly think he was a contemporary of Perryman, so he would have played under him. I'm just trying to think how old Darren Baisley is and when he would have broken in. And I reckon he's born early 70s.
He's born 1972.
So he'd have been about 18 in 1990, depending on when his birthday, I guess, fell. I don't think it would have been Harrison. So it's just, who was after Harrison? Was it Lee? What order was they in? I reckon it'd be the first one of those two. I think it'd almost been... We were trying to clear the decks almost, a bit like we're doing now. Funnily enough, well, I hope we haven't got a decade like the 90s ahead of us.
There was Colin Lee before Perryman, but he wasn't there for very long. I reckon that's a very small window we're aiming at, if we want to say that.
Just because it was a time of change, Colin Lee, but if you think Perryman, I've got no reason to say Colin Lee other than...
I'm going to have to get to lock in an answer, boys.
Let's test my tracksuit theory and go Perryman.
He would debut on the 5th of May 1990, a 3-1 home win against Huddersfield Town, and the manager was Colin Lee.
No! So what we've learned here, Geordie, is that we apply a scientific approach to answers and not a fashion/leisure wear/training wear-based approach.
Question two on the Darren Baisley. There are six questions about Darren Baisley. Number two, how old was Darren when he made his debut? I think I might have given you too many clues here. So how old was he? Was he 17, 18, or was he 19?
Well, he wasn't 19 if he had it in 1990, and he's born in 1972. So he's either 17 or 18. And it was in May, was it? Blooming middle of the year. So there's not really much of an odds either way. It sounds really silly, but yeah, 17 seems young for players before. Like, players used to almost follow like a YTS thing. You didn't really get many players debuting at 15, 16. Given the majority of the year comes after May, I'm going to assume he hadn't had his birthday then. And so he wouldn't be 18 yet, he'd be 17. So I'm just going to say 17.
Correct! Oh, yes!
Well done, JC.
Birthday in October, made his debut, as many, many players did at the end of the season. So yes, he was 17 years old. Did you know, lads, that 27 players have represented Watford in the Anglo-Italian Cup? Was Darren one of them? Mike?
Yes.
Geordie, do you agree?
I can't remember when it ran.
It's got to be around that period, doesn't it? The Anglo-Italian Cup is the most 90s... It's the most 90s thing imaginable.
Did he play for us at any point in the Anglo-Italian Cup, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, because to Mike's point, it was a 90s thing because obviously we were in the top flight for most of the 80s. Certainly the 80s that we remember. And therefore, if he played in the 90s, unless he somehow missed out, unless he was injured. Did what I'm assuming Watford did play in the Anglo-Italian Cup. Must have done.
Yeah, badly.
So Watford played, it was 1992, the beginning of the 92-93 season. We played Bristol City and we played at home and Luton away. I don't know how it worked, but that's the only records I could find. But yes, he did play in that game. Now, it's quite well known, of course, I've said that he had a career down under in Australia and New Zealand, and now, of course, is the head coach of the New Zealand national side. But he played for three English clubs. All of them start with the letter W. Can you name the other two apart from Watford?
Yep, I think I can. Wolves and Walsall, definitely.
It was. I would give you a fairly straightforward one there. Time in the West Midlands after Watford. But of course, I think Colin Lee, when he signed for Wolves, Colin Lee might have been his manager at that point. I don't quite know. So he played in New Zealand. He lives in New Zealand. He settled there. Now, which of these players did not play in New Zealand as part of their career? They're former Watford players. They did not play in New Zealand. Was it Darren Baisley, Richard Hill, Richard Johnson, or Richard Jobson? Which one didn't play in New Zealand, do you think?
Is Jono in there as a bit of a curveball? Because he obviously played in Australia, didn't he?
You saw him out in Australia, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, he was playing for the Newcastle Jets. He was playing at Sydney. I saw him play for Newcastle at Sydney. I sort of the Newcastle subs were warming up, and I said, "Oh, can you get Jono? Can you get Jono?" And they were like, "What are you talking about, mate?"
Everyone called Jono over there.
And they just like, "Well, why would I go and get him to come over and talk to a member of the crowd?" And I'm like, I had my Watford shirt on, and they still didn't twig. But ultimately, they did, and he came over, and we had a good chat. Yeah, I've got a good photo of me. Yeah, me and Jono chatting by the side of the pitch in Sydney. Happy days. But I digress. Did he play in New Zealand? So there are New Zealand Kiwi teams that play in the A-League, I think, aren't there? But did he play?
Geordie, which one feels more like someone who didn't? Richard Hill, of course, didn't have a great time with Watford, post Graham Taylor. Richard Johnson, of course, was a massive part of the 1990s with Darren. Or Richard Jobson. Do you have any feelings, Geordie, on which one of those didn't play in New Zealand?
Richard Jobson sounds like a trap to me, frankly. And it might be that you're playing kind of double bluff on us. Richard Hill had more of a lower league career, didn't he? Richard Jobson came through. So I wonder whether Jono retired into Australia rather than starting in Australia. And
Johnson definitely went out there after us.
Let's just say we're not going to fall in the Johnson trap. So it's between Jobson and Hill, right? And Jobson, we signed him, I think, from Burton, didn't we? So it wouldn't have been early in his career. Richard Hill sounds like a weird one, but he may have been one, you know, like these players who go and play in remote places, or they're like playing Canada or in Malaysia or something before, early in their career. So I'm going to say Jobson. Jobson, yeah. Just because I think he's a Northern lad, wasn't he?
You were absolutely correct. Richard Hill did play in New Zealand, so did Richard Johnson, and of course Darren Baisley did also. There were many, actually, quite a few Watford players who did end up playing in New Zealand. Last one on the Darren Baisley round, question six. How many goals did Darren Baisley score for Watford in his nine seasons that he played at Watford? First game, of course, in the 1989-90. Didn't really come into the squad until the 91-92 season. And I suppose he sort of peaked like that late 90s, you know, 96 and between 96 and 99, and left, of course, as Mike has already said, at the end of the 98-99 season. So how many goals do you reckon he scored? Do you reckon he scored less than 20 or more than 20?
He wasn't prolific, but he was there for a pretty decent chunk of time and featured fairly regularly. He played a lot for Watford, I think, relatively speaking. And we've already, in just our sort of preamble, I remember the goal against Northampton, which certainly wasn't a fluke. He could hit a ball. Geordie's mentioned a hat-trick. So that's four already. And if you sort of extrapolate that out over virtually a decade-long career, I'm going to say above 20. That's not by loads, I wouldn't have thought.
But Geordie, would he have scored less than 30.
Right, now you've made it harder for me, haven't you, now? So I was thinking if he played about 8 seasons for us as a regular player, featuring, he would need, I was thinking, if he got, we know he got a hat-trick, so he would need 3 or 4 goals basically a season to be above 30. So I'd confidently say above 20. It's just whether or not, was he never like a regular, ever present, and how many games we've missed a couple of seasons that might have, and he did play right back as well, didn't he, for a period, which might have then curtailed his goal scoring. I would say between 20 and 30 without any real science between it. So I think 20, I'm confident, but then...
I tell you what, I'll give you 5 points if you get it spot on, and I'll give you 2 points if you get either side of it. So, for example, it was 35. I'll give you 5 points if you get 35. I'll give you 2 points if you said 34, or 2 points if you say 37, 6.
Are you giving it away a little bit? Because we're saying between 20 and 30.
Well, your head's saying it's going to be between 20 and 30.
Yeah, I agree with Geordie. I think he could score. He definitely wasn't doing it on a regular basis. He was playing defensively for a period of his career at Watford. So definitely between 20 and 30. I would probably say towards the 20 end of the scale as opposed to the 30 end of the scale. But I'd be guessing. I don't know what you reckon, Geordie, split the difference, 25, 24?
I was concerned when I said below 30 that he would end up being on something like 32. Because I was thinking if he scored 4 goals across 8 seasons, he'd be on 32. So when it was below 30, I was thinking it might be closer to 30. But then your logic, I mean, it's only a handful of goals, you know what I mean?
The question is, Mike, are you going to try and push your agenda again as you did with the first question, or are you going to make Geordie the decider?
I'm going to try and rescue myself, and I'm going to impose my logic, because there is a little bit of logic in this one at least. I'm going to say 24.
It was 27 goals. 281 appearances, 27 goals, including one penalty. So that's our Darren Baisley round. Let's see. I don't know, first. That was my hardest one, I think, just to see what you could try and rack from your brains from all those years ago. Next one is called That Famous Game. Now, we're going to focus on a certain game from Watford's history, and this game was in August 2015. Watford kicked off their Premier League return with a 2-2 away draw at Everton. The question is, how many players can you name? You get 1 point for every correct answer. A maximum of 14 made it onto the pitch. If you get one incorrect, you won't lose a life, but you will lose 3 points.
Can I go first then?
Well, the obvious ones. Let's get the obvious ones. Who's the obvious ones to get out of the way?
Is it, are we talking starter or...
No,
or...
any player that made the pitch, got on the pitch, both subs and the starting 11.
Okay, I'm going to start with a super obvious one, because he netted. Ighalo. Deeney.
Layoun scored, didn't he?
Gomez. My sweet, never-to-be-forgotten prince, Big Seb Prudel.
First one, there were a lot of debuts, of course, that day.
Can I let you into a secret? I'm already doing exactly what I said I wouldn't do, and imagining the kit, and imagining who played in that kit. So it's the yellow one with the black stripes that were thick at the bottom and got thinner at the top, isn't
it?
First year in the Premier League. So I'm imagining those players. And it was the first year we went up, right? So I was talking about this guy the other day, actually. Someone who I thought was probably doesn't get lauded as one of the better signings, because his career didn't go on to be absolutely amazing. But Alan Neom would have been playing, wouldn't he?
He did, Mike. You were on a roll.
Geordie, was Hollabas playing for us then? Did he play for us in that season? Did we have him that early?
I think he gave away a penalty, didn't he?
Yeah,
was that the game he gave away a penalty? When it was a handball, which wasn't a handball? Well, yeah, Hollabas. I think he'd accepted his fate that he was going to sign for Watford that summer, eventually. Have we had Capoue? We need another centre-back, do we?
Yeah, but remember, he's subs as well.
Okay. Cathcart?
Very nice. Very nice.
Still a mixture of players who had been new players, still a few debutants, but also players who had played their role in that 2015 promotion.
There's one I'm pretty sure about, one I'm not sure about. Watson played. Geordie, What about Anya?
Yep. I'm trying to think where he was playing. That's what I was trying to get around my head on. What we're missing. But yeah.
He was still there. I'm just not sure if he played.
You've got 10 points so far. Do you remember, if you do get this wrong, it does go down to 3.
Yeah, Anya.
Are you going to put Anya in? Is that a guess?
Yeah.
Three left.
Well done. You had more guts than me there, Geordie. I wasn't sure about that one. Right, okay, so 3 left.
I'm going to say Kike's favourite player, because it was Kike's season, wasn't it? And I'm going to say Jurado, if you may.
He did make his debut that day then. So you've got 2 left.
I've got one more and then I'm out. I'm totally out. I've got no idea who the other one is. I'm sure this guy would have played. And he did. He went on to be important for us that season. Barami.
Currently on 13 points. One more player to guess. One more guess. Will you make it 14? You lose 3. So you get 14 points or down to 10. You're currently, after the first round, Darren Baisley, you scored a grand total of 3. 3 out of 6, which is not too bad. You're currently now on a staggering 13. Can you make it?
I think we quit while we're ahead, personally.
No, you have to guess. You have to make a guess.
Oh, what?
It wasn't another debutante. It was another player who was part of the promotion push.
So if it won't have been Vidra again, because Ighalo came on and scored.
But do you remember him wearing that kit, Mike? You know, can you remember Manny Vidra wearing that kit?
Do you know what? I can't. I can't really. No. I think about goals that season, and all I think about is Troy and Iggy.
I mean, the last player you've got to guess is he was a substitute along with Watson and Ighalo, who were also subs used that day. Came on for Lyon. That's all the clues I'm giving you.
So my thinking, Mike, looking at the players we've got, is we're lacking down the right wing.
So who went with us?
Paredes, was he there? Was he in the Championship, Paredes, or did he join us in the Premier League?
Yeah, no, he was in the Championship, so I can remember the red training top with the black thing across the top. So he was in the Championship, but I can't remember who told us that story. In training, he'd lost his voice, so he was. And for quite a long time, he'd lost his voice, so he had to communicate via whistle. Incredible.
But is he going to be your last choice?
Oh, I don't know. Would he have featured in that first Premier League game?
Geordie, one of you needs to make a choice. Who's your last guest going to be?
Well,
go on, Geordie, you two.
The only player I can think of who played on the right-hand side is Paredes.
Do it.
All right, Paredes.
Put us out of our misery.
Really? Blimey, have we managed to get all of them?
14 points, boys. Fantastic. I don't know if anyone listening got it any quicker or they're shouting at the screen. Why? Of course Paredes came on and scored a goal. Oh, but he didn't come on and score a goal. Extra point for you. Who, for one point, can you name the two goal scorers?
For Watford, Ighalo.
In Lyon.
One extra point. 15. Round 3, 10 to the top. This is a very simple game. It's a higher or lower, but you will get a point for every time you get someone right in the sequence. If you get one wrong, you go back to 0. Now, the game is the age of a player when they debuted for Watford.
Oh, no.
The age of the player when they debuted for Watford. Not who is the oldest, but who was the... How old were they at the time? I have got there. This with our starter. We always have to have a starter in this. The person we're starting with is Ian Bolton. Ian Bolton, born in July 1953. He debuted in 1977, so he was 24 years old and 1 month. The question is, higher or lower, Alman Abdi? Or 8,797 days?
Alman looked like he'd had a tough paper round, didn't he? He had that twinkle in his eye, but he did look like he'd been around the block a bit. Curious sort of appearance, all in all, wasn't he? He sort of almost looked a bit sort of lollopy, a bit shambling, but obviously we know that he was anything but. I'm going to say he was... Oh God. I want to say younger.
He was older. 25 years, 8 months and 10 days. So no point there. So after 25 years old for Alman Abdi, going back to our last game, Alan Neom, was he older or younger than Almon Abdi? Can you get off the score here? Geordie?
Yes, he was older.
He was. He was 27 years old. 1 point.
Well done. I would have said younger.
27 years old for Alan Neom. What about Sean Dyche when he debuted for Watford in 2002?
Okay, I'm going to say, just because Sean Dyche has been old forever. So was he older than 27? He'd played a lot of football by the time he played for us, hadn't he? Older.
Correct. That's yes. Up to 3 points. Two there for that one. Next, though, Chris Awelamu. Geordie, Chris Awelamu, what are your feelings? Was he older or younger than Sean Dyche, who debuted aged 31, 1 month and 13 days?
Well, I mean, he had certainly been around for a while, hadn't he? Been to lots of clubs. He didn't last long after he left us. So I'm going to say he was older.
33 years old when he debuted under Sean Dyche. Number five, 4 points. Keith Millen. Was he younger or older than 33-year-old Chris Awelamu?
So Keith Millen was among a swathe of hyper-experienced players that we brought in to steady our extraordinarily leaky defence. I wonder what he's doing now. I wonder if he could, if he fancies lacing up the boots for a game at the moment. He'd get him organised. So he came in at the... I think it was, we brought in Colin Foster, didn't we, at the same time, and Dennis Bailey, and he came in that little glut of signings. And back then, players looked older, just as a matter of course, didn't they? Those 20-year-olds looked like they were about 38. But he, again, was experienced, had played a lot of football. I guess as a centre-back, you can probably keep going a little bit longer. I think Keith Millen was probably... just a little bit older, I'm going to say.
So at least over 33 years old when he played for Watford.
Can I intervene so we don't
lose our
points?
Yeah, of course you can. Please do.
Yeah.
I think Keith Millen played for us for a few seasons, didn't he? And therefore, if he had been 34 when he joined us, he'd have been really old for a player when he left. So on the basis of how many years he played for us, I think he's got to be in his 20s when he joins us. Late 20s.
No.
I think he would have
played over six seasons.
Yeah, the thing is, Mike, players looked older, young, but in the back in the day, because we were children, and everyone looks older when you're a child. Now everyone looks young.
So I'm surprised he played for six seasons. You know, that's interesting.
So is there any of that? Yeah, I didn't realise it was that many, but I knew it was like more than like a Iwelemu. To go back to the previous one, where he kind of just appeared, seemed to be like a one season, like a Glenn Murray type character, like on the swan song of his career. So, but I think Keith Millen, we got him probably in or close to his prime. So I would say late 20s, because he was, a centre-back. So I'd say he was probably in his 20s, which puts him well under... If it had been Sean Dyche, maybe, but younger than Wellamy, I'm pretty sure he would have been on his debut.
Born in 1966. Debuted in 1994, making him 27 years old.
Tremendous, Geordie. Well done.
Saved that one.
Well done.
Hopefully this is a straightforward one. Keith Millen debuted 27 years old. What about Paul Furlong? Older or younger?
He must have been younger. I reckon he was early 20s, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But what about Hamza Chowdhury? How old was he when he debuted for Watford? Was he older or younger than Paul Furlong?
How old was Paul Furlong?
He was 8,719 days, which is 23 years, 10 months and 14 days.
Tricky one, but I'd say he's older. I think he's been... Yeah, let's not talk ourselves out of it. Hamza Chowdhury was older than Paul Furlong when he made his Watford debut.
Yeah,
he was 24 years old.
Ooh,
10 months and 14 days. A year older, in fact, than Paul Furlong. You got three left, 8, 9 and 10. You're up to level 6, but that could all go back down to zero if these last few don't go too well. So, Hamza Chowdhury, 24 years old. John Harley, how old was he when he debuted? Was he older or younger than Hamza Chowdhury? John Harley,
goodness me.
Where had he been before us? He obviously played for Chelsea.
Fulham, wasn't he? He was at Fulham at one point. He started at Chelsea. United. He knocked around. I think he was older. I think he was established, if that makes sense.
Yeah, he was.
So I think, and then he didn't go on to great things. And I don't think he was necessarily as precocious as Matthew Briggs, who kind of had his,
Geordie. It's close to bedtime. Don't mention that name. Oh, well, it is Halloween week, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. And then he kind of worked his way down. I think Harley would have been older than 20, 23. Was it 23 or 24 we were at?
24.
I think he was older.
He was 28 years old. But but Jason Lee, older or younger than the 28 years, 10 months and 14 days, / 10,545 days that John Harley was when he debuted. Jason Lee, older or younger? Mike, what are you thinking?
I'm just trying to think what he'd done before he... Because obviously Forrest is the big one that everyone remembers, but I'm not really clear on his career before that. So I'm not sure. I don't think I could say with confidence how long he'd been around before Forrest.
I think he'd been at Southend, hadn't he, at one point? I seem to remember him.
He'd been at Southend.
In that blue kit. Maybe he played that game when Baisley scored, who knows?
So obviously he scored that amazing goal that saw us up.
I just think he was doing all right at Forest, and obviously all that stuff happened with fantasy football and he kind of went off the boil, didn't he? He got to him, so I think he was still younger. Because he played on a bit after us, didn't he?
It's going to be very... Yeah. I think it's going to be pretty close.
Maybe that's why I put those next to order for each other. Hmm.
Let's go younger.
To be older than 27, 28, you'd have to be quite towards the end of your career, wouldn't you, back then?
So you're up to level 8. Question is, can you get level 9? Our last person in the list, John Goodall, debuted in 1903. Was he older
Moses
or younger than Jason Lee? And if you've listened to the podcast, or even been on the podcast, Mike, over the last few years, listen to your Hornet Heaven, do you think he was older or younger than Jason Lee when John Goodall debuted for Watford?
Didn't he play for Preston when they won, when they were like really good in the 1880s?
They were the Invincibles, the original Invincibles.
Yeah. So if he played in the 1880s and he joined us when?
1903.
God, this is where we need Colin on. He would have seen him in action.
In every sense, John Goodall is older than Jason Lee.
He absolutely was. 40 years old, 2 months and 18 days. He was the oldest player. I don't think he's the oldest Watford player ever, but yeah, he was. As you're right, he was the original Watford manager, first ever Watford manager, but of course joined as a player. So yes, boys, you made it to level 9 in a row.
And that's despite my best efforts to cut us off at the knee again.
First round, you only scored 3. Second round, you scored 15, plus another 9. I can't add it up at the moment, but let's go into the final round. This is going to be a timed round. I'm giving you 30 seconds and only 30 seconds between the two of you to name me as many players whose first name begin with a certain name that I'm going to give you in a minute. I'm going to give you the name and then I'll start the clock. First name and then I'll start the clock. You have 30 seconds to name as many as you can of former Watford players whose names start with this Christian name. It includes Stephen, but also Steve. Go.
Steve Terry.
Steve Butler.
Steve Glass. Stephen Glass. Stephen McGinn.
Stephen Brooker. Steve Cherry.
Bloody hell, Judd. Steve.
Was there an Armstrong? I played for Watford, is that possible?
Yes. 17 seconds gone.
Steve Harrison. Have we said Steve Harrison? Stephen Kelly.
Stephen Glass.
Steve Morrow, who got dropped.
Oh, well done.
Stevie Palmer. Steve Palmer. Did you get Steve Sherwood? And Steve Sims.
Oh, well done.
Oh.
God, yeah. I had a complete meltdown.
So, you have scored 13 in that one in 30 seconds. Absolute corkers there, Geordie. Brooker and Armstrong. Absolutely crazy. I didn't think they were the one you didn't get, who I thought you would be the really one of my other sort of out the left side, Stephen Tallboys.
Oh,
ah, yeah.
Steve Cabba.
Oh, yeah, legend.
Stephen Hughes. Stephen Hodge.
Oh, goodness me,
Stevie Hodge.
Yeah. And Mike, you're going to kick yourself for forgetting the greatest loanee of all the loanees, Steve Leo Bellick.
No, I'll tell you what though, John. Very, very good.
So here's the final results. Now, you've probably been playing along at home, keeping your own scores, of course, hopefully. But boys, I don't know what it was out of him completely. You got 4 out of 6 in the Darren Baisley round. I think I said 3 earlier on. You actually got 4. Second round, but you scored 15 in that famous game.
Very proud of
that. In 10 to the top, you were able to, apart from a stumble to begin with, you got 9 in a row. That's 9 points there. And in that last round, you were able to dig deep and find a grand total of 13 Steves. So you now are the proud owners of 41 from the rookery end points.
I'm going to save the listener from pointing this out because I know I get messages. Of those 42 points, I think about 3 of them are mine and the rest are Geordie. So yes, I'm well aware that I'm a millstone around the uber talented and the excellent memory of Geordie Connor. So well done, mate. That was a privilege to be a part of.
I say that would only be true, Mike. It's very kind of you to say it, but I won't sleep tonight because I didn't say Stephen Burkhouse.
Oh!
And
it's just popped into my head.
Why did that not come with my search?
Don't know.
Oh, there you go, you see. Never off duty, you see, Geordie, though, is he? He's still, his hornet brain is still whirring away. Yeah, absolutely tremendous.
Yeah, I use the search function on the Watford Football Archive. I don't know if I use it correctly. But yeah, if there are other Steves you can think of that weren't on my list, then do send them in at Watford Podcast on socials. So, of course, we'll be back again next weekend once Watford have had the visiting of Rotherham. Two important games, we've sort of said. We'll see how we find ourselves at the end of that. We'll be back to discuss the last two games in some great depth. But thank you so much for Fran for giving her roundup of what happened away at Huddersfield. But thank you for Michael and for Geordie for taking part in this quiz.
Good work, John. Supreme quiz mastering. I'm not sure which famous quiz master I'd liken you to. I think the slightly humorous yet the way you kept control of it. I'm going to say you are Watford's very own Bob Holness, John. How do you feel about that?
3-2-1. No, that wasn't Bob Holness.
That was Ted Rogers.
Ted Rogers, yeah, of course. Yes. Yeah, whatever. But the next away game we're going to do, the main focus for that podcast is we're going to chat about one Watford legend, a deep dive, I think we need to call it these days, into Heider Helgason. So any memories, anything you remember about Heider, anything that you loved, anything you maybe hated about Heider, probably not a lot, I don't think.
Certainly not.
Do get in touch at Watford Podcast. We don't want to tweet, we want your details via email, podcast@fromtherookerend.com. Do send us your emails. Thank you very much, Mike. Thank you, Geordie. And, well, the season continues. Come on, you all!